Hi, it's Pastor John Haggard. Today on Treasure Top Ministries, we're going to continue my message, If God is Good, Why Is There Suffering? And if you missed part one, I will briefly recap some of the key points we learned from the Word of God based on what He has already revealed to us in Scripture. And if you didn't hear that message, I encourage you to go to treasuretop.com and look up under podcasts to hear the message, or from your mobile phone. And you can also subscribe there so that you never miss another message going forward. I'd like you to know that Treasure Top is a nonprofit ministry, and it is your generous giving that funds our ability to deliver the Word of God and to help you make life work when life doesn't want to work 365 days a year. At Treasure Top, we seek to evangelize the non-believer, and that means we want non-believers to become converted to Christians so that they can enjoy eternal life in heaven as believers. And we also want to equip the believer with biblical truths and guidance to help each believer fulfill the mission for which God has called him or her to accomplish on earth. And if you become a monthly giver, you actually have a ministry of your own. This is because God uses you and your monthly giving to fulfill Scripture in Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Your monthly gift will help these messages provide more hope for more people in the real world through radio, television, YouTube, the internet, and social media. Just go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button. And we'll share more ways you can connect with us later in the program. Father, thank you that you are right with us every step of the way and that you never leave our side. Your word says, living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, as we read in Hebrews 12, and that's all the proof we need to know. You are with us 24/7. A lot of people know that God is, but don't know who God is. And my prayer today, Father, is that you will open the hearts of sinners and draw them to the truth of your word, and that you will save non-believers, that they will be converted to believers. And Father, I pray that believers who hear your word today will become better equipped and even more energized to do the work of ministry for which you have called them to do. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in all of us who believe, the same power that raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And thank you that this same power is available to anyone who accepts your Son as their Lord and Savior. And Father, I do continue to be reminded that I am in a life or death ministry because souls hang in the balance, and I pray that you would direct me in the delivering of your word today. We know from your word that all of us will go to one of two places. It's going to be either heaven or hell. So I pray that your word will draw more souls who will ascend to heaven. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Have you ever wondered if God is good, why is there suffering? In part one of my message, we looked at, if God is such a good God, why am I suffering? Why is my wife or husband suffering? What was done wrong to deserve this? What did I do wrong to deserve this? Isn't God a good God? I also said that it's critical we understand Scripture in context, not in isolation, out of context, and that's called pretext. Pretext is taking a sentence here and there out of Scripture and then trying to expand its meaning to suit the topic being discussed instead of focusing on the totality of the Word of God. And most of the passages that I will quote from today will be from the New American Standard Translation of the Bible, known as the NASB, unless I tell you otherwise. Have you ever heard the saying, "That's a half-truth"? God warns us not to add to or take away from His Word. Revelation 22:18-19. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. The Apostle John wrote those words, but Jesus was the author and commissioned John to record what Jesus said. Jesus is saying that anyone who alters, tampers, falsifies the Word of God will incur the judgments spoken in that verse. And as I said in part one of this message, unfortunately today there are a lot of preachers who are in popularity contests, concerned more about how many people come to hear their message than to preach the full truth for fear of running people off. Half-truth, distortions, and outright false preaching is rampant today, especially among what's known as the prosperity gospel, a false gospel that says the more money you give, the greater blessing you will receive from God. If you don't have blessing and are suffering in your life, you have not given enough money to the Lord by giving to the church. And that is an outright total lie. Yet a lot of people believe in the promises of a fake gospel. And as a result, and this is the sad thing that really upsets me and should upset you, there are a lot of false Christians walking around thinking they really have been saved when they have not been saved, because they've been taught a false and corrupt gospel. And the horrible thing is, these false preachers are actually condemning people to hell. And it leaves some who are suffering in great pain wondering, am I going to heaven? What if I did not give enough money to the church? What if I committed a horrible sin? The short answer is, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart and have repented of your sins, repent means to turn away from, you are going to heaven. No one can snatch you from Jesus Christ if you are a true believer. Let me remind you of John 10:29, where Jesus is speaking, quote, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand, end quote. That is your assurance as a Christian that you are going to heaven. No one and no thing can snatch you away. One other thing that I said in part one that is so important for you to know, I am going to say some things in this message that will leave you in one of three ways: glad, mad, or sad. In fact, you must be taught the bad news first before you are ever given the good news, so that you know what good news is based on the bad news. So some of what I'm going to tell you today may upset you, but it will be the truth. And one other thing, are you looking for a blessing today? Did you hear me say in part one of the message that the book of Revelation, which is about the return of Jesus Christ to earth, known as the Second Coming, the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that says you will be blessed if you read it? Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. This means the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that bestows blessings on those who hear it read and explained, then act on it in obedience. So again, don't believe anybody who tells you that the Bible is a bunch of made-up stories from yesteryear. You heard me say a few minutes ago, directly from God's Word, from Hebrews 4:12, that the Word of God is living and active. And if you want to learn more about how you can trust the Bible, go to the website treasuretop.com and under podcasts, search for my message titled, How Can I Trust the Bible? Now, why is all that I have just spoken about important to you in order for you to know if God is good? Why is there suffering? Well, here's one reason. The statistic I quoted in part one of this message from the book titled Heaven by Randy Alcorn, in which Randy estimates that three people die worldwide every second, and that means 180 die every minute. That's 11,000 every hour. That's more than 260,000 people who enter eternity every day. And there's only one of two places where every person goes when they die a physical death. It's either to heaven or to hell. No one escapes death. So it is critically important that you hear the truth, all of the truth, about all that Scripture has to say, not just the feel-good parts. When we begin to talk about, if God is good, why is there suffering? 260,000 people every day entering into one of two eternities. That is no small number. Like I said before, even if one enters hell, that is one too many, and that one too many will be you if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have you noticed that today on TV you see a lot of betting apps like DraftKings and others trying to entice you into online sports gambling? They tell you the odds of winning, but the odds are, of course, just that, odds. There's no guarantee of winning anything. In fact, you could lose all your money. Even the stock market does not guarantee that you will make money on your investments. How many times has the next scandal just been right around the corner to drive the stock price down and some people lose everything? So here is my question. Wouldn't you rather have a solid, guaranteed return on investment than suffer a loss? What I'm saying here is, if you invest your life in the faith, hope, and love of Jesus Christ, your sins will be totally forgiven, past, present, and future. You have a guaranteed, non-cancelable reservation in heaven that no one can take from you. And remember, when I say repent of your sins, it does not mean you will be sinless, but you will sin less. One of the ways to know if a person has been converted, that he or she is a Christian, is by observing an outward change. What are they not doing now that they used to do? Now, if you are suffering in an unimaginable way, and I'm truly sorry if you are, remember what I said in part one of this message. Jesus knows what we are all going through, and he understands what we are all going through. In Revelation 2:9-11, Jesus says, "I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich." Remember, what Jesus means by rich is those who have inherited the kingdom of God when they die because they've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Jesus goes on to say, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Now, folks, there's no better guarantee than the crown of life. That's for believers who will inherit eternal life in heaven, where there will be no more suffering and there will be no more sorrow. In part one of this message, we learned that the world today, right now, is under a curse due to sin, which includes suffering and death. Genesis 3:16-19. Sin was introduced into the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and that caused death to befall all of their offspring, as well as themselves, and that includes you and me many generations later. Genesis 2:16-17 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die." And even though Adam lived to be 930 years old, in Genesis 5:5, the first book of the Bible, Adam and Eve both suffered a spiritual separation from God as a result of their transgression. And one of the ways we suffer is in the same way when we place anything before God, whether it's a career, a marriage, a child, or an addiction. The Apostle John, in his first epistle, and epistle means the same thing as a letter, that he wrote, as recorded in the Bible, said this in 1 John 2:15-17, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever." John was warning his readers about dangers which always exist, no matter how far someone has matured in his or her Christian walk. It's the danger of falling back into old sinful habits. Have you ever noticed that what you thought was a past sin in your life has somehow grown back? John is reemphasizing that God, not the world, must have the first place position in a Christian's life. Matthew 10:37-39 and Philippians 3:20. And the world that John refers to is not the tangible physical world, but rather the unseen spiritual system of evil that is ruled by Satan and everything that Satan stands against, including God, his word, and his people, that's you and me, and people like false preachers that I was talking about earlier. So what is suffering in terms of how we define suffering? Well, we can look at it this way. Suffering is anything that causes pain or distress to a person or to a community over an extended length of time. And when we look at biblical definitions of suffering, we see bodily illness or agony, mental sorrow, and just a sense of helplessness. So the real question is, how do we make sense out of suffering? Adrian Rogers, in one of his sermons, divided making sense out of suffering into three areas. And I'm going to borrow from that sermon to illustrate here. First, there is bondage. Bondage is defined as yesterday's curse, which we will talk about in a moment. Then there's liberty, which is tomorrow's conquest, or another way of saying what we have to look forward to. And then there is hope, which is today's comfort in spite of suffering. We have already discussed the first area earlier with the introduction of sin into the world in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. That is where sin got its start. That's the curse on mankind, sin. And if you look around in the world today, you see lots of evidences of sin. Disease, war, not only against our adversaries, but war on our children, war in our schools, war on our churches, war in Congress, essentially war everywhere. So this question also comes up. Why did God allow sin to enter the world? All things come from God, don't they? Including sin? Well, we're going to dive deep into that question next. But first, if you'd like to hear a replay of this message, part two, including the ending to If God is Good, Why Is There Suffering? Just go to treasuretop.com under podcasts, and there you will see a link to this program. That's treasuretop.com. And there you will also see all of our contact information as well as other messages to help you make life work when life just doesn't want to work. And sign up for our free newsletter. And your tax-deductible donation in any amount will help us continue to deliver messages like these as we must pay the media. Just go to treasuretop.com and press the Give button right there at the top of the website. And now let's go back to the message part two. If God is good, why is there suffering? And the question, why did God allow sin to enter the world? All things come from God, don't they? Including sin? Now that's a hard question, don't you agree? So let's take a look at what we do know. God is the creator of everything. Everything was created by God. And everything was created flawlessly. And he created a man and a woman, placed them in an ideal setting. And get this, the perfect God granted complete freedom to each of them, Adam and Eve. Everything was flawless because of God. He created the ideal man and the ideal woman, placed them in the ideal setting, and granted them the ideal degree of freedom. Now, that word freedom is very important here. Why did God grant man complete freedom? One word, love. God is a loving God. If there's no one to love, no love to offer, and no love to receive, then what good is love? Until you marry, there is no marriage. Until you birth a child, you've never given birth. Love is not love until you give it, like God did, and until you receive it, like Adam and Eve did. In order for God to love, and for whom he created to love him, God created Adam and Eve. But why did God make them free? Because coerced love isn't really love. For us to be able to love, God must grant us freedom. And the freedom to choose evil is a necessary condition for choosing good. Let me say that again. And the freedom to choose evil is a necessary condition for choosing good. Otherwise, there would be no option at all. So God created the ideal environment for man, granted the ideal freedom to both the man and the woman, and made man complete. He offered them the option to choose. And you know what they did? Their choice was sin and evil. And from that moment forward, Adam and Eve were placed in bondage, which enslaved all of creation from that point forward, including us. And that's the beginning answer to why we suffer in different ways. Now, here's the good news about suffering. The creation itself, and that's the world, will be freed from the bonds of decay when God's plan of salvation for us is accomplished and all of God's children will be released from sin, Satan, and bodily decay. because of Adam and Eve's power over the creation as God's emissaries, God cursed the physical creation as part of his judgment on them for their transgression. Genesis 1:26-30, verse 2-8, and also 15. Now, since the physical world will be recreated, we read about that in Revelation 21:5, God's plan of salvation for you and me entails a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Galatians 6:15. And here's the good news, devoid of all suffering. As Adrian Rogers said, quote, "We live in a sin-sick world, and sin is like a virus," end quote. Remember I said earlier that I would have to give you the bad news first in order for you to know the good news? Because without the bad news, you would not know what good news is in comparison. Just like the love of God that we spoke about earlier, if you have no freedom to choose to love, you would have no freedom to love. It's impossible to give what you've never received. If you never received love, you wouldn't know how to give love. But you have received love, even if you don't know it. And you may be in a current situation, or maybe it's the way you were brought up because of absent parents, whether physically or emotionally, that you can't even think about the last time anybody loved you for any reason. Now, if you don't walk away with anything from this message today, the one thing I do want you to walk away with is perhaps the most famous passage in the Bible, John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That is talking about you. Now, your spouse might not love you, your children might not love you, your parents might not love you, your employer might not love you, your once friends might not love you. But I'm here to tell you, as painful as that is, in the end, it does not matter if anyone on this earth loves you. All that matters is, does God love you? Scripture says that God knows us before we are formed in our mother's womb. In the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, who was called by God to be a prophet. And Jeremiah received a message to motivate him for his task of being a prophet. God revealed that his selection of Jeremiah as a prophet had occurred before he had even been formed in the womb. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." This means God also knew you and me before we were knitted in our mother's wombs. And God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to earth in human form so that we would recognize him, to take away and pay for your sins and my sins. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Christ paid for our sins by placing your sins and my sins upon himself, and that's all of our sins, past, present, even the ones we're getting ready to commit in the future, so that we would be made righteous in his eyes for all who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior, not by anything you have done, but by what he has done when he was crucified on the cross. Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to go to the cross? Be willing to suffer from being nailed to the cross and die? Honestly, I wouldn't want to. So as Christians, even with all of the suffering in the world, no matter how bad, we know it's not forever. The end is near. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." 1 Thessalonians is the Apostle Paul's first epistle or letter to the Thessalonians in response to Timothy's report about the church in Thessalonica. Timothy was the person whom Paul chose to accompany him on his second missionary journey. Paul identified himself twice as the author of that epistle, verses 1:1 and 2:18, and wrote to encourage the church, verses 1:2-10, to answer false allegations, verses 2:1-12, to comfort those in the church who had been persecuted, verses 2:13-16, to express joy and encouragement in their faith, verses 2:17-3:13, to remind them of the importance of moral purity, verses 4:1-8, to condemn the sluggard lifestyle, verses 4, 9 to 12, to correct a misunderstanding of prophetic events, verses 4, 13 to 5, 11, also to diffuse tensions within believers, verses 5, 12 to 15, and to instill in the followers the tenets of Christian living, verses 5, 16 to 22. So regardless of what we are suffering through now, the end is near. Now here's the tough part. You say, well, Pastor John, God is all powerful. He can stop anything. Why doesn't he stop the suffering? Adrian Rogers puts it this way, quote, God could not destroy evil without destroying freedom. And if God destroyed freedom, God would destroy love. And if God destroyed love, God would destroy the highest good. God could not destroy evil without destroying freedom. If we're not free to choose good, then we're not free. There must be, therefore, the ability to choose evil. Would you help us evangelize the non-believers to become converted to Christians so that they too can enjoy eternal life in heaven? And would you help us to equip the believer with biblical truths and guidance to help each believer fulfill the mission for which God has called him or her to accomplish on earth? We are a nonprofit ministry and are listener-supported, as we must pay for all of our programs to be aired. Please consider making a generous tax-deductible gift to Treasure Top. There are three ways you can give. You can go to treasuretop.com and click on the Give button at the top of the screen, or you can text your donation with the word give to 844-553-1590. That's the word give to 844-553-1590. And if you prefer, you can mail your gift to Post Office Box 210-615, Nashville, Tennessee 37221. Thank you for considering a generous donation in order that we may continue to spread the saving grace of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today about suffering, and we thank you that suffering is temporary. It's not forever for those who are children of God, those who have accepted your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. And while there are many things we will never understand this side of heaven other than what you have already revealed to us in your word, we know that as believers, we will have eternal life in heaven and that we will be free and void of all suffering. For the old things will have passed away, as your word tells us, and we will have glorified bodies in heaven. Help us to go forward this day in trusting you for all outcomes, even when we cannot understand why in many situations. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. And now it's Pastor John Haggard saying, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen.